It's time for the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Here's your host, Chris Williams, alongside Brent Bloom and Jared Stansberry.
I told Jared Stansberry to take the night off. Kid's been working hard. National Signing Day was yesterday. It's kind of a nutty day. But I'd like to welcome all of you to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Of course, we are presented by our friends here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. That's where we're at. The new and improved Benchwarmers, where we've got TVs everywhere. TVs galore. Before I introduce my co-host tonight, I hope she's driving right now. I'd like to wish my lovely wife, Ashley, a happy birthday. As she's coming here, if you want to be a part of my wife's 32nd birthday party that features Adam Gray and Brent Bloom, I would encourage you to, in the great John Sellers as well, come over here and join us at Benchwarmers in Ankeny.
Do you think when your wife was growing up and she imagined what birthdays would be like, and as an adult, she imagined Benchwarmers in Ankeny on a Thursday night? I think I would. That seems like a good future to me.
Yeah, and it's with me and you.
Right. Well, of course.
That's our present.
Bury the lead.
You guys tell me, and we're going to get into a ton of Iowa State basketball. But here in a couple of weeks, Cammy turns 2, my daughter. Is it bad? We're going to have her birthday party here at Benchwarmers. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Is that acceptable?
Yeah. Absolutely. Why not? It's got. Everything you need.
Yeah.
Does Cammy like a delicious pizza?
It's her dad's favorite bar. So I figured it's
at
okay.
What age do you even remember birthday parties?
Well,
5, 6.
It could be worth some great stories when she actually does turn 21.
We had the great, down in Clarinda, there was a Ghostbusters car. The guy turned an old, like, hearse into a Ghostbusters car.
Seems like
I think that was my 5th birthday.
Something that would happen in Clarinda, having been there before.
Anyways, we're off topic. I say that we fire up the Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale tonight. Have you guys ever faced each other?
Yeah, we have. Not with you as the judge, I don't believe.
The judge, the jury, the executioner.
I'm ready to go tonight, just so Adam knows.
A little squirrely tonight? Okay.
Especially because of him.
Brent's getting ready for his big Cyclone women's basketball debut this year.
Yeah, my annual.
We're Bellingham's on a beach. They bring in Bloom.
They go to the lefty. They go to Al Rocker. Hey, what's the, no, not it.
So you're
John Rocker.
But your streak has taken a hit in the last couple of years, right?
I was like
Bloom
like
was automatic there for a while with the ladies.
Stretch, and hasn't been quite as productive.
Boy, I was proud of the girls last night, though. They played that first half. I mean, that's as good as they could play against Baylor.
Baylor's really good.
Yeah, jeez.
Losing by 30, but road trip to Morgantown, they might be able to get that one. So. 11 o'clock, Chris, right here on KXNO.
We'll be listening.
The lady,
it's great
the lady
timing because we've got the ladies at 11 and then the men play at 1.
Correct.
On Saturday. Yeah,
I
love it how it times out. All right, Iowa State loses to West Virginia on Tuesday night. So pretty simple question, and I'll let Adam go first. Is Iowa State on the bubble come Selection Sunday?
Come Selection Sunday, I'm going to say no. I think they're going to get 5 wins the remaining year, rest of the year, and then I think they'll pick up 1 or 2 down in Kansas City. As we stand today, though, absolutely they're on the bubble. I mean, they're still lacking a big win. I mean, if you look at it, who's their biggest win, Chris? You got Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and Miami. I think those are the 3
biggest. I think Miami's their best win right now.
And then, you know, Miami had that big win against North Carolina, and they followed it up last night by getting smoked at home by Florida State.
Yeah, they were a 4-point favorite in that game.
College basketball is a little weird this year as far as that goes. Just when you think you might have a team figured out, they take a couple steps back. So, I mean, Iowa State right now is on the bubble. They need a couple key wins. I think they're going to get it. I still trust might not be the right word. I still think these seniors have been in enough tight situations where the pressure's not going to get to them, and they'll step up and win some games here.
That's rode the fence quite a bit there. Go ahead.
Yeah, they aren't on the bubble. They are in the tournament right now, and I think convincingly so right now.
Right now.
And I think they will be even more so.
I do agree.
Now,
how are they on the bubble right now?
Let me finish, as Kanye said.
You gotta let the man finish, Gray.
As an old adage from a great philosopher, I don't remember who it was.
Williams?
Joe Lenardi?
No. Never underestimate how, quote, messed up the other guy is. The word wasn't messed. But.
Oh, yeah. I get the word.
At some point, you got to look at your competition for the bubble. Iowa State's, if you look at their metrics, they're actually in really good position.
I mean, KenPom has them 27th still.
27th in KenPom, Chris. 22nd, yes, 22 in the top 25 in Sagarin. And the BPI, which is ESPN's index, has them 23rd. If the NCAA only used the RPI, Iowa State would be on the bubble. But it's not anymore. That has passed like 5 years ago. They use all these metrics in concert with each other, plus the eye test. And even though Iowa State has lost eight games, they don't really have a marquee win. They don't really need one. Their numbers are good enough right now. They can still get in. I agree, Adam. They need to win some games, clearly. They get to 9-9.
They're in it.
They're
9-9.
In. They are in.
I don't care who they beat or how they get there. They are in it.
100% agree. Because you can look at the losses to Gonzaga and Kansas and Baylor. They didn't win those games.
Did you see Pete look that up? That like only once in the entire history of the Big 12 Conference has a 9-9 team not gotten in.
Yeah, I mean, it's – and that was.
And didn't Tech do that last year?
They went 9-9, and they didn't really have a great
game. They weren't even very good.
The fact that Iowa State was close to those teams actually is a good thing because it helps those raw data numbers, the Sagarin, the KenPom, and the BPI. Again, if it was just RPI, Iowa State would be on the bubble, but it's not anymore. There's a whole grand spectrum of metrics that are used by the tournament committee. And right now, I think Iowa State, unless you're Jerry Palm, you are comfortably in, even as an 8 or 9 seed today. Today, and I don't think there's any problem for them winning four games. Win four games, I think you're in. Five would lock it up. Four probably gets you maybe in a play-in game.
Bloom's feeling
but, yeah, I think you're
right
in,
now.
Man.
I like it.
This panic of Iowa State's going to miss this tournament. I think it's a little misplaced this moment.
Adam Gray, do you have a rebuttal here?
Yeah, well, first off, panic is you're going a little too extreme.
I think people are panicking.
Some people are panicking, but that's not the question. The question isn't should we be panicking. Is right now today Iowa State in the bubble? The answer to that is yes. Zero top 25 wins.
Don't need them. You don't need them.
So you say 9-9, and I completely understand where you guys are coming from there. But if there are four more wins in the Big 12 against Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and throw in one of the other worst.
Yeah, they'll still be in.
Yep.
I still believe they'll be
in. Put them in.
Did you consider a play-in game in the tournament?
When Iowa gets in, no. When it's Iowa State, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I think you got to win that first game.
Got to be honest.
You got to win that first game to be considered in the tournament. So I don't think being in the playing game is in the tournament. I'm sorry.
I don't either. Yeah. I honestly think you got to win that game to be in the tournament.
And if you go 9-9, you are on the playing game.
And then the Clones go to the bubble. Final Four after the playing game.
BCU did that. Hey. No, but I think that the.
Iowa State, though, like they're a team though that like is capable of getting to Saturday in the Big 12 tournament too. You know,
I mean, we've seen them play good against Kansas.
I mean, just the Gonzaga game. They didn't even play that well against Gonzaga and still lost by a point.
Here's why I wouldn't be too concerned unless Iowa State just completely tanks. And if they go 8-10, I don't think they get in because lost some bad games there. But even there's just no bad. There's the one bad loss Iowa State has is at Iowa. That's the worst right now. Like, that's the worst loss.
Perception-wise, the worst loss is at home against Cincinnati.
I think you're both right here.
When they put up the little metric, you know, good wins, bad losses, the one bad loss Iowa State has is really at Iowa, and that's not even that terrible. There's no Texas Tech from Fred Hoiberg's first year. I mean, second year when they made the tournament. I think this team's still in okay shape for the tournament. The bubble is not – there's no greatness on the bubble. You're dealing with a lot of mediocre on the bubble. And Iowa State's mediocre is probably better than somebody else's mediocre right now.
Yeah, if you put it the way you do, I mean, that is a bad loss is kind of like a crappy win for Iowa State in that sense. If you start comparing it to like Atlantic or A-10 teams and stuff like that, Conference USA, like that type of crap.
Right now, Jerry Palm has Michigan. Who I think what are they?
Like not good.
4-6 in the Big Ten. In. He has them in. Like, there's not – there's a bat – the bubble's not good again.
I think Jerry Palm has Iowa State out, though, doesn't he?
He had him in the play-in game today.
Play-in game.
In their newest one. He had him as an 11 seed in the play-in game.
Yeah, there's not – if Iowa State, again, gets four, there's enough wins in there and not a bad loss in there that they probably get the nod.
So, I think me and you are both in agreement. Iowa State gets in. But you seem like you're not worried at all. There's got to be a little bit of worry there.
If they completely combust and they win three games, but that you'd have to go, what is that, 3-6 the rest of the way?
Yeah.
I guess it could happen. I don't, based on percentages, I think Iowa State's percentage to get in the tournament right now, I'd say 85%.
Wow. That's strong. I like it. Bloom gets the point. Bloom brought some statistics and metrics with
Iowa State's. He always does.
I tweeted this today. Iowa State's metrics in KenPom, Sagarin, and BPI higher than first place in 20-2 Maryland. That's how crazy Iowa State's non-conference has helped them. And some of those close losses have really helped them.
That's why the metrics are important, too. Because if you just went by the pollsters and if you just went by box scores.
It's not a good indication.
Yeah, all losses and all wins aren't created equal.
Correct.
They're not, but you know my feelings. At some point, you got to win.
I agree.
And Prohm said
especially at home.
Steve's saying the same thing.
Yeah,
they put themselves in position to win games. They just haven't done it yet. At some point, they got to win these games.
The only thing I worry about is, at this point, it's like keeping the guys – because 2 weeks ago they thought they could beat anybody in the country. They have to still
a little more doubt.
You know, they have to still believe that. And you lose enough games, despite who it's to, you got to at some point like still have that swagger, and you got to keep that. And I don't think they're going to beat Kansas on Saturday. So then it's your first three game losing streak in the Prohm era. Haven't done that in a really long time. Like, do they still have that swagger? That's the key.
So they're 13-8 right now. Let's say they go 4-5. They're still 9-9 in conference. Mm-hmm. That puts them at 17-12. They lose first game of Big 12 tournament, 17-13.
Yep.
Still you're sweating on Sunday. I don't care who you are. You're sweating on Sunday.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I think still in. Not comfortably by any means.
Bloom leads 1-0. Before we go to question number two, I do want to remind everybody a week from tonight we'll have our Cyclone Fanatic recruiting party, the annual recruiting party. That will be at Thunderhead here in Ankeny with a 6 o'clock start time. And our special guests are pumped up. I talked to a couple of them yesterday. They're jacked up. They're ready to go. It's if you've been to any of our events, this is kind of our trademark event. It's always a big night, so keep that on your calendar. I did create a Facebook page as well for RSVPs. I would encourage you all to go and RSVP for that. All right. Big 12 basketball. Well, first of all, I wanted to address a couple of stories that broke this afternoon as well. Daryl Bowie suspended for Saturday's game at Kansas. There have been some rumblings that there were some issues over the last couple of days with Daryl Bowie. I did not know how this would break out. However, Jared Stansberry and the other guys who were covering Prohm's media availability today reported that Bowie is out. It sounds just for Kansas, right, Brent?
Yeah, nothing legal, by the way.
Yeah, it's no team rules type deal.
Yeah,
team expectations, I think, was how Steve formed.
This isn't anything to do with the law.
Well, Kansas, on the other hand. What's going on there? You were the one who told me about this.
Well, it just came out today. Of course, they have Carlton Bragg suspended for a couple different issues with him. He won't play against Iowa State. But today it came out that a couple of their young guys are under investigation from an incident, a vandalism incident in December at a bar in Lawrence. Josh Jackson, who's their consensus so All-American.
Josh Jackson's got to be how old?
He is 19 years old.
He was at a bar?
And LeGerald Vick, who's a sophomore. Two contributors, two rotation guys. Clearly Jackson's a stud, but they got into something in December at a bar in Lawrence. Vandalism, $3,000 worth of damage, which via law, that's considered a felony, potentially. They haven't been charged yet, just under investigation. They've known about this for a while. They played. They won't probably miss the Iowa State game, but at least a cloud now publicly over Jackson and Vic as well.
One of many clouds that are going on there right now. Nothing's going to come from this. We've seen this a lot before, haven't we? And down in Kansas, especially?
Kansas gets away with a lot down in Kansas, and that's going to be conversed here in a couple of minutes. I guess that was my read, but I haven't read anything on this.
Yeah,
Bloom's
I mean,
the one who's told me about it.
If this happened in December, like December 9th, and we're February 2, if nothing has happened yet, I don't think anything will. You just wonder if it's a distraction for two young guys, although they've had a way bigger issues than this surrounding them the last month, and they've played through it. It's interesting, though.
I don't like
this. We haven't seen this much cloud over Bill Self in a while, and we'll see how that team handles it.
Well, you know, I referenced this on Twitter last night when I was watching Baylor get absolutely homered in Phog Allen. You have to be a mentally elite team to win in Phog. In the Phog, keeping it close is one thing. Being mentally elite is another.
And then you need some luck.
Well, I mean, Dwayne Morgan didn't need any luck. He just coached those guys up to win down there. And Bloom, you were telling me Waino recently got quoted.
Yeah, he was in a. It was actually a really good article. So Bill Self's lost
nine games. Yeah.
I think it was Matt Norlander from CBS found all nine coaches that have won in Allen Fieldhouse against Bill Self and talked to them about how it happened and expectations. Since it's really, really good stuff from Waino. Brought back some good memories. And he then referenced the issue in 2004, the Phantom 3 at the Fog.
I'm throwing this question in, a surprise question in the Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale. Of course, we're down here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. I think Baylor got absolutely hosed last night in Allen Fieldhouse. And I got to thinking, is there a venue in all of sports where the home team gets more calls than Allen Fieldhouse? Bloom, we'll go to you first.
What were the homered calls? Because here's the problem.
The entire second half.
You can't just say they were homered and then not reference a specific call.
There were multiple calls last night. I can't even go through all of them. It happens all the time.
The perfectly legal box out by Baylor where they called a foul on him.
They missed a foul on the LeCompte hit a three.
Yeah.
And then he got fouled and they didn't call it. No, they missed some. Yeah, absolutely. And, Chris, to answer your question, I don't know if it's homered or if it's just Bill Self is a wizard working the officials, but I can't – there's no tougher place to play, and I think the officials are part of it.
Shouldn't the officials be above Bill Self?
They should be. That's why whoever officiates Saturday's game is important, because there's certain guys –
So who do you want? If you're an Iowa State fan, who do you want on Saturday officiating that game?
Eads?
Eads would actually be fun.
You want Hollywood Higgins?
You want Eads?
Eads
is really good. This is why some Iowa State fans don't like him. He does not get bothered by a home crowd. Like, he really doesn't. He's very...
He actually prefers to be booed by them,
so he calls it against the home crowd. There's actually some truth there.
Yeah.
So Higgins would be number one, though.
Higgins would be your number one for any game.
Well, yeah, actually, that's not... Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Sermons would be great. I think Sermons is great. He did the West Virginia game. Thought they were really good on Tuesday, by the way.
Yeah,
I would mind Tom Eads. I think you want certain big game. You want a big game of big name officials in games at Kansas because they don't wilt as much under the pressure.
Great. You didn't answer the question. Is there a venue in sports that where the home team gets more calls than an Allen
Fieldhouse?
You got to answer the question.
That's not a real question.
All right, Gray, I'll ask the same question.
It's a lazy question.
Not in college basketball. Duke would be close. Cameron Indoor would be close. Baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals get every call. I think we can agree on that, can't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
Any home game with the Cardinals, the umps are constantly giving them 6 inches more off the plate. So I'd put that up there.
Have you ever had somebody quit in the middle of a battle royale? Just walked away.
For me trolling them?
Yes.
Cardinals shouldn't even have to do that after they've hacking their rivals' databases and all that.
They stole it first.
You know what? I would say the one of the places where it's hardest to win due to cheating or bad – the Patriots. You got the headsets going out every time there. If you go to sleep there, you have them pulling your fire alarms. If you go play in Foxborough, you got a lot of issues you got to overcome.
Real quick story. The whole fire alarm thing that happened to Pittsburgh. We were with Iowa State football after they just beat Oklahoma State in 2011. Went to Oklahoma the next week.
Yep.
Fire alarm in Norman got pulled four times.
Yep.
I was like, if they're doing that to Iowa State, what are they doing to...
They were
some of those others.
Who did we have at quarterback? Was Steele there? Were they worried about Steele?
Jared Barnett.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they'd be pulling the fire alarm. Yeah.
It worked. 26-6 was that.
So
time,
Gray, right? your answer is there's nowhere in
nowhere
sports.
Else. I mean,
I agree.
You even go back to the Kansas State game where a guy takes six steps and they literally just swallow us. Is that the worst call of the year? By the way, the non-traveling call.
Oh,
Bloom.
Jeez.
I mean, is that the worst call of the year?
It was bad. Yes.
The worst non-call.
Yeah, that was
you can still defend officials and say that Kansas gets a ton of calls.
They do. They absolutely do. Iowa State gets a ton of calls at home sometimes,
That's debatable.
So, Chris, on Twitter, I put up the video of the blown call back in 2004, 2005?
2004 was the Phantom 3 at the Fog.
Phantom 3. I put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Bloom goes, well, even though they messed it up, they technically got the call
correct by the
rule book. Even though they just completely messed everything else up. So they write these rules to cover them when they make horrific other calls.
Yeah, it's a long discussion about – I think it's Rule 12-4-A, which is allowable
correctable errors. And once the basket goes in, it's not a correctable error. Now, allowing them to move the ball and shoot should have been stopped. But once that basket went in, they actually technically got that part of it right. Missed the whole getting there. But
great rule book.
Long discussion.
Yeah.
We got to take a quick break here. We're going to continue. Greg, get to that point. It's 1-1. The Battle Royale is just going to go throughout an entire hour
Surprise
of programming here.
Have a studio audience. Well,
this is what happened when Gray shows up, when it's me, Gray, and Bloom. Like, there's just not enough time to get it all in. But anyways, coming up next, we're going to discuss if we think Iowa State will be in a bowl game next year. Of course, National Signing Day was yesterday. Everybody's optimistic about football. Will the Cyclones be in a bowl game next year? That's coming up next here from Benchwarmers, Cyclone Fanatic Radio on 1460 KXNO.
Hi, this is Adam Gray with Cyclone Fanatic. When it's time to purchase or refinance your home, call Gershman Mortgage. My family and I recently used Gershman Mortgage when purchasing a new house, and I couldn't be happier with their service. Gershman's knowledge, experience, unmatched service, and low rates will make a positive difference for you as it has for over three generations. Call 515-964-5952 or visit GershmanIA.com. Gershman Mortgage, 1200 Southwest Street, Suite 2C, Ankeny, Iowa. They're an equal housing lender, NMLS number 138063.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000 square foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit, or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Hey guys, Chris Williams here. When I'm out and about covering the Cyclones, I often get asked about the sweet gear that we have at Cyclone Fanatic. People want to buy it. And let me tell you where we get that gear. Wheeze Tees. Yeah. Anytime I'm looking to get any of our Cyclone Fanatic gear embroidered, a new hat, anything like that, we give them a call. They hook us up. Shirts, jackets, koozies, signs. Wheeze Tees can do it all. Cyclone Fanatic has been using Wheeze Tees for years now. There's nobody else I would trust with our brand, so why wouldn't you? Give them a call at 515-257-7191 or stop by at 306 South Ankeny Boulevard.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland Orthopedic Surgeons and Sports Medicine Professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
Welcome back to Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on 1460 KXNO. Brent Bloom and Adam Gray are with me tonight as we are breaking down the world of Iowa State athletics. Again, Bloom, can you, in case folks had a late night at the office. So what's going on at Kansas? These young men are potentially in some trouble with the law?
Yeah, they're under investigation for felony-level vandalism from an incident that happened in December. And now the young men are Josh Jackson, All-American forward, and LeGarrald Vick, who is a guard off the bench. My guess is, without knowing anything, they won't face any additional discipline, since they haven't yet, since it happened in December. But you never know. If public perception gets to the point where Bill Self feels like he needs to do something, maybe he would. But nothing to that extent of suspension.
Well, I just saw one national writer tweet, what in the heck's going on at Kansas?
And so this is an interesting point. Remember a couple years ago, they built that basketball players-only dorm.
Yeah.
And there was some wonder if that was a good idea because, you know, if you seclude yourself, your sense of entitlement, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a very loose connection to make, but they've had some issues now legally. This is multiple things that have happened in the last 2 months.
We will see.
Yeah. I would doubt they are suspended.
I almost hope they play because the last thing I want to happen is them to not play and Iowa State lose anyways.
Yeah,
and then, you know what I mean? And then it just seems even worse.
I like as someone who has covered Iowa State now for 12 years, you're always looking at the
class the worst, full, right?
The worst possible thing that could happen from good news.
But that has happened to me.
Oh, I know.
Like, I was a totally different person 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I'd looked at, oh, man, this signing class, this is the one getting us to the Holiday Bowl. And now I'm like, oh, okay, show me something first.
Well, you know, this see what has happened to Randy Peterson is now happening to you.
Thanks.
Love you, Pete.
We do love Pete. Okay, so that Battle Royale, as we do each and every Thursday here on 1460 Kicks, and of course we're at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. The question now goes to pretty simple. We saw the new signees yesterday. We got a pretty good idea as to what's going to go down with Iowa State's recruiting, or as far as what the roster will look like, barring no attrition. Grades on you. Will Iowa State make a bowl game in 2017?
Not only, yes, they will make a bowl game.
Gray's getting ready for a scorching hot take,
yeah,
I can tell.
Yes, they will.
Yes!
I looked this up and I talked about it on the Trail podcast last week. Iowa State, with an offensive line in shambles, where they essentially lost Daniel Burton before the season even started.
Right.
Campos before the season even started. Mm-hmm. Tyler Catalina left, went to Georgia.
Yeah, Catalina.
Those are three guys that were supposed to be the top three offensive linemen. Left Iowa, and then J.B. Filbert didn't even play with the last
J.B. Filbert?
Didn't even play the last
he
eight games of the year.
He blocked me on Twitter.
Nine games
of the year.
He blocked me on Twitter. He's a me and Gino disciple.
Are you going to be okay?
Oh, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
He got another ride somewhere.
Yeah, we're locked.
Arkansas State.
Yeah. Good for JP. Yeah. I hope he does well.
Me too.
Back to my point.
Yeah, sorry.
So with all that, and Iowa State starting two walk-ons on the offensive line, Iowa State scored 39 offensive touchdowns last year and had over 5,000 yards. You have to go back to Seneca Wallace's senior season to have that combination. And Seneca's team played 14 games that
year. Phenomenal take here by Gray.
So you do that now. With Campos coming back, bringing in Dawson from Michigan, bringing in Rogers from USC, the offensive line, I'm not saying it's going to be a great offensive line, but it's going to be miles better than it was last year. In the second year at this staff, I think it's going to be the most dynamic offense Iowa State's ever seen. With Lazard coming back, I think Jacob Parks poised to have a big-time year.
You love Jake.
I do. You know I do.
You love him.
I love a gunslinger.
He loves him.
Yep. Three.
You see a little Favre in him, don't you?
Three good running backs. No, he's not. No one's Favre. Slow down a little bit. And then you bring in instant impact guys on the defensive line that help shore up a need. I think not only does Iowa State go bowling, I think they have a shot at 7 wins, and I think they win a bowl game next year.
Whoa! Scorching hot take tonight by Adam Gray.
Because the fans
on the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny on 1460 KXNO.
This is February 2nd.
You're not going to disagree with me either.
Are you doing this for the old takes exposed? Are you putting this on the Twitter feed?
I hope they find that. February 2nd.
Scorching hot take.
7 wins?
7.
I'll take it, man.
Well, let's hear your rebuttal.
I think they have a chance now, but.
Oh, wait. See, he's going big here. They have a chance.
They do.
Not yes or no.
Well, they always have a chance,
Brent. So, Adam, the problem now with you referencing, it is going to be Iowa State's best offense since 2002. I agree with you. It should be statistically. But everybody else has gotten better, too.
Yeah, that's a great point.
College football has changed. So. Just because you are the best Iowa State offense still in the Big 12, think about who's coming back now from the rest of the teams. Look, what are the quarterbacks coming back? Oklahoma State. Texas.
The league is loaded next
year. Oklahoma's back.
It's a comeback year for the Big 12 next season.
It's going to be really good. And this is like, I think Iowa State's got a chance to be as good as they've been
in
a while.
Mason Rudolph is legit. Like, he's a dude I'd love to be wearing purple some year.
Even K-State's got Ertz coming back. I mean, they're... These teams are all going to be very good.
I'm so sick and tired of Kansas State.
But Tech drops off, right? Tech will drop off a little bit. But Iowa State beats them this year. Kansas drops off probably a little bit. Iowa State beat them this year. So where are the wins going to come from?
TCU at home?
So they're again, they get Hill back. I mean, everybody's good.
Does Hill scare you?
Well, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of talent in the Big 12. So while I think Iowa State has their best team,
where are the wins coming from?
Where are they coming
from? Let's go through the schedule. Let's break it down.
Like, you can be a really good offense, but everyone else has a good offense.
Let's break it down right now. Let's find these wins.
Northern Iowa.
That's a win.
At Akron.
They better win.
Yeah, they're going to win that one.
Texas at home. Win.
Ooh.
Okay. Ooh. See now. Okay.
Hot take. I like it.
At home. On a Thursday night.
I'm for it.
You skipped over Iowa.
I'm going with
Oh, you're picking the wins. Okay.
I think Iowa State could beat Iowa. I'm just saying these are my wins.
Okay. I got you.
Kansas at home. Win. TCU at home. Win. That's five right there.
I got them beating TCU as well. I'm less confident in Texas.
Yep. At Baylor.
Yeah, I think they're down next year. I think that's a very winnable football game.
At Kansas State.
No. Not next year. Kansas State's going to be good.
With Baylor, that's six. So you could take Kansas State, you could take Oklahoma State at home, or you could take Iowa at home.
They're not beating Oklahoma State at home. Oklahoma State, I think, will be favored to win the Big 12 next year.
That's a very winnable game, though, for Iowa State. Yeah, they'll be a 7-point underdog. Winnable game.
They got a lot back, though.
So do we.
So this is the thing. Like, I agree. This offense is going to be very good.
Man, now I'm worried that I have them at five.
I'd say they're right on it.
Since you went through like
I think that. Maybe you have to beat Iowa, you know?
You have to beat Iowa or you have to upset somebody you're not supposed to. I mean, because, okay, so let's give them – we'll give them – You and I,
yep.
We're giving them Akron.
Yep.
Let's just for the sake of this conversation, we're not going to give them Iowa or Texas right now.
Fair enough.
Kansas. And in reality, right now, like if you put a gun to my head, I would not take a win against either one of those teams.
Fair enough.
Okay, so we got Kansas.
Yep.
I'll go with TCU.
It's four.
I'll say TCU at home, although that they think they're going to be loaded next year, by the way. Mm-hmm. But whatever. Texas Tech. You didn't say them earlier.
On the road.
I'll get a win at Texas Tech.
Yep.
And then Baylor.
Yeah, that's six.
So that's without beating Iowa or Texas. We just found a route to six. I feel like we're like the electoral map right now. We're King up on CNN just piecing everything together.
So I agree. I think this offense is going to be really good. Defensively, they still have to get there a little bit. I mean, the JUCOs help, but I love Leo Tangamoa and
Lima.
It's Lima time.
You still got to get there. Like, it's going to take some time for them to get to that point where they can be.
Jaquan Bailey's back. Vernell Trent's back.
Yes.
They have other guys there that can help bridge the gap. But give these guys, these JUCO guys, a couple games under their belt before they start taking off.
But Iowa State, you know, still gave up 220 yards rushing last year.
Yep.
And that's A number one, more so than the offense. They got to stop the run. And that's where those big fellas come in. Are they going to get there enough?
Hey, Grant,
every quality linebacker, and they weren't great. I killed them more than anyone. Linebackers are back with three additions coming in this year to help.
And you got to count the Sutton kid who would have started last year.
He's one of my three.
He's one of my three. He would have started last year.
Yep, so you get those guys. But here's the thing. I'm talking up this offense and saying it's going to be the best we've seen at Iowa State. That's not saying a whole lot.
They were still ninth in the Big 12 in offense.
The offense in our lifetime has been terrible
really
for Iowa
bad.
State. I mean, awful. So when I'm saying it's going to be the best ever, it does. I'm not saying it's going to be as great, but for Iowa State fans, it will be very good.
Can I throw in another hot take?
Yeah,
we're full of them today.
If Jake Campos plays last year, they win two more games.
I think it's fair.
I mean, think about it though, and I'm not even saying these specific games, but if you think about Baylor and Oklahoma State, those are two games where really all you needed was one more first down. And they really struggled in those short yardage situations because their line wasn't good enough that if any defense knew exactly what they're going to do when you're trying to run some clock, like every good offense should be able to do, they couldn't move the ball. So Campos, like, the problem was you mentioned all those linemen that they lost. Well, there was this major trickle-down effect when they lost him as well. They got weaker across the board. Well, Campos, losing him was massive last year.
Well, Fett, all of a sudden, instead of playing in the inside, which he's most comfortable, playing tackle.
Well, especially that first game. No wonder they didn't win. I mean, think about that. They didn't have good Jones either against you and I.
Oh, that's true. We forget about
think
that.
About how terrible that think about how terrible that line was.
It was bad that day.
The first game. And that was when Philbert got messy with me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because that was the worst offensive line performance I have ever seen covering Iowa State football going back to the Marty Fine years. I've never seen anything worse than that.
So we go from that.
Never.
To next year when we play you and I first game, We will have 4 4-stars starting on the offensive line.
Yeah, but you got to give Rodgers and Dawson some time as well.
Like, why? They're fifth-year seniors.
He's been playing for Harbaugh.
Yeah, he's been playing for USC.
Okay, here's the deal. I think these guys start, right?
I would hope so.
They're not.
I mean, jeez, they're not beating out.
If they don't start, we're kicking them out.
We're beating out Corey Kadenko and Will Winder. Let's calm down here.
Oh, good. So, long
story
short. Greg
gets the point.
But you agree with me that the Big 12 is going to be pretty good.
I do, but I also, like, I'm pointing out how terrible that line was at the beginning of last year. It was an abomination for a Big 12 offensive line. Abomination.
They lost to you and I.
And they still put together pretty good offensive stats when you look at it with horrible offensive lines.
So ninth in the Big 12.
All right.
Okay, but.
Well, I mean, never gave your take. What's the record? I mean, this can change. You're not
six.
You're not strung to this until
six on the dot.
So who are the wins? Who are your wins?
I can't go there yet. I don't know.
Well,
I agree. I know.
Point.
I agree.
We don't ride the fence here.
I agree. You and I.
Take.
You and I, Akron.
Oh, going out on a limb now.
TCU.
Yep. So we all have the same three: Kansas,
Tech, Kansas, and then six is a struggle for me
right
now.
Can we just
say Iowa?
Can we take a timeout to calm down in the Oklahoma State love?
Oh man, they're going to be great.
This is a team that
I'm going to put them number. If I had to put in my ballot right now,
yeah,
I'd put them ahead of Oklahoma right now.
I can understand that.
They'd be my number one.
But this is still a team that lost to Central Michigan debacle.
Wait a second, Clones could beat West Virginia next year, can't they? Why didn't we talk about West Virginia?
No, they're still pretty good.
Oh, I know, but come on.
It's at West Virginia,
but that's not like here's the deal with Iowa State. They don't have like an incredible like talent gap with Iowa State like a lot of these schools do.
You think Oklahoma State's got an incredible talent gap?
Next year, they're loaded, dude, like up and down. They are loaded. Even defensively, they're going to be really good.
Did I watch the Iowa State Oklahoma State game this last year?
Yeah, but
did Iowa State outplay them for 55 minutes of that
game?
They
were a different. They're a different team next year than the one you saw.
I would think Iowa State is too. And we're at Jack Trice.
I hope.
Which
I hope you're right, man. That'd be a huge win.
I think you're overselling Oklahoma State a little bit.
League's gonna be good though.
Very good.
The league's gonna be really good, and I think they're number one.
I think Iowa State can beat Iowa. By the way, I don't know why we're quickly dismissing.
No,
that.
We can't.
They're not.
My worry with that is you talked about the rushing. Here's my deal with that. You talked about the rushing yards.
Yeah.
This is why I don't think they'll beat Iowa. Is the five returning offensive linemen and Akram Wadley. My worry is it's one of those deals like the second half from 2013, where I mean you've got Weissman out there running 4 yards a pop and just killing the clock.
He's not,
that's my worry.
But Wadley's not a.
I get that.
A 30
my worry
guy.
is that line. I don't know enough about these defensive linemen to go on the record and say that they'll beat Iowa.
Yeah, I do look forward to the next great Iowa receiver who's going to be the next best thing until September rolls around.
That's a good place to transition into a break. Adam Gray currently leads Brent Bloom.
What do you think about that, Bloom?
2-1. We'll have the final two questions. We'll probably get back to basketball.
Conspiracy.
We're here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny, and we're talking Cyclones here on 1460 KXNO.
Admit it. You judge a sports bar on three key criteria: TVs, food, and wings. Consider this our entry into the category for best wings. Ken from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill here. Our wings are flame broiled to sear in that juicy flavor. Generously lathered in our signature homemade sauces. Barbecue?
Sure.
Buffalo?
Of course.
But how about garlic jalapeno, sweet bourbon, or Caribbean jerk? To go along with 11 other originals you'll only find at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill.
You've just been thunderstruck.
Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here, wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters. Hey guys, Chris Williams here. When I'm out and about covering the Cyclones, I often get asked about the sweet gear that we have at Cyclone Fanatic. People want to buy it. And let me tell you where we get that gear. Wheeze Tees. Yeah. Anytime I'm looking to get any of our Cyclone Fanatic gear embroidered, a new hat, anything like that, we give them a call. They hook us up. Shirts, jackets, koozies, signs, Wheeze Tees can do it all. Cyclone Fanatic has been using Wheeze Tees for years now. There's nobody else I would trust with our brand, so why wouldn't you? Give them a call at 515-257-7191 or stop by at 306 South Ankeny Boulevard.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000-square-foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit. Or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
How much does Missouri regret going to the SEC? I used the word abomination to describe Iowa State's offensive line last year.
What are they doing today?
Missouri's losing to Florida in basketball with 2 minutes to go in the first half. The score is 42-13. Who's their coach right now? I don't even know who their coach is.
Kim Anderson.
Kim Anderson, okay. I remember that.
They hired him from Division II.
Yep, because it was fairly controversial when they hired him.
And he won't be there next year. He'll be back in Division II.
I mean, they're pitiful, man.
Oh, way bad.
To be fair, Florida's been absolutely destroying everybody lately.
Yeah, they've figured it out.
Other than Vanderbilt. But other than that, they've won by, I think they beat two teams by 40 in the last
couple
weeks.
They beat Oklahoma by 35 on the road.
How is Vanderbilt 9-11 or whatever they were?
I don't know.
They're not bad.
Their RPI is now ahead of Iowa State.
So. Really?
Mm-hmm.
But Bloom doesn't think we're on the bubble.
Good because stuff. The RPI isn't the – So
Brent, will you explain to Adam what the RPI is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, because a lot of people don't know. They think it's just – the RPI does not factor in margin of victory at all. It is your record, it is your opponent's record, and it's your opponent's record.
Yeah.
So it's all based on win-losses, which is a good way to do it when you have a better method 25 years
ago.
We got
a lot better method.
A lot better methods now.
Yeah.
Thank you for educating us, Bloom.
It's a dated tool.
I learned a lot.
What do you think, Bloom, if – because I always say on Fanatics
that
if
the fax machine of metrics.
I always tell people on Fanatics that if the college football playoff wanted the best four teams every year, then they should just let me make the decision. Just put it all on my shoulders.
I would make
the best decisions.
You know what I would do? I'd let Vegas make the decision.
There you go. I'm saying that you're the basketball guy.
Yep.
The best bracket. The bestest bracket in the world.
Clearly.
You're in charge of it. What would be your number one
criteria?
Ken Pom. Yep. Really?
Wow. Yep. Right now, because that measures by possession. Like, it's the best method we have. It's not even close. Sagarin's there too, but Ken Pom should. You know what? They should really just take the best at large teams from Ken Pom. Just take who's ever left.
So
and just take the 36.
Kirk Collins, he wrote a nice piece for us a couple years ago. I need to pull it back up. Explaining how the Ken Pom rankings were a little bit deceiving. Though.
They are, because it also weights a little bit, especially early in the season, from last year. So it's not perfect early.
Oh, okay. It gets better as the year goes.
But by the tournament, it's the best there is.
All right.
So Oklahoma State's got its top 25 team on Ken Pom. You agree with that?
I think Oklahoma State's top 30 good. I really do.
Yeah, I actually kind of do. I like that team.
We said they were the best 0-6 team in Big 12 history, and they've proven it. Look at what
They've won four in a row.
Yeah,
that's crazy that they're 4-6.
No, I would.
Games back of the Clones.
They're 3-6. One of those games was against Arkansas.
Ken Pom will balance out a little bit, like I said, as the year goes on. But I think you got to wait a little. I think possessions and margin of victory matters. I think you determine more by sometimes how much you win by, and how dominant you've been, rather than just winning or losing. I think it's the only fair way to do it.
Fair.
I'm not encouraging it to run up the score, but I think it's a good way to do it.
This, Adam Gray?
I just sometimes forget why people even play the games. I mean, why play the game if winning and losing isn't what really matters at the end?
Oh, it absolutely matters.
Do you feel good when Iowa State loses to Gonzaga by 3 points? I don't.
I wanted to puke that night.
Okay, how about Cincinnati? Top 25 team. Iowa State blew a lead.
I wanted to puke for a different reason because I was up at the Vikings-Cowboys game that night.
Yeah, that was tough.
I absolutely wanted to puke. But
which one was that? That was Cincinnati.
That was Cincinnati.
That was the worst loss of the year, in my opinion, right? But
yeah,
we only lost by a possession or two to a top 25 team. That's right. A moral victory. Good job, guys.
It's not a moral victory, but it does help you.
According to KenPom, in my opinion, you lost the game. You play to win and lose.
But I don't think that you guys are arguing the same thing.
Correct.
I think Brent is saying, like, if you're down to, like, the 60th team and through the 68th team, like, their records are going to be very similar.
Correct.
So at some point, you have to go to metrics to find out who had the best season. That's what I think Brent is arguing.
Okay. I would agree with that.
My question was, if you're putting together that bracket, what is the best tool?
I agree. I agree there.
So
I just don't like the fair.
But Gonzaga is undefeated, and they're number one because of it, like because they've won all their games.
Do you think Gonzaga is the number one team in the country?
No.
I don't either.
KenPom agrees.
He thinks they're number one.
No, he thinks they're not.
They're currently number
one. What
does
KenPom have?
They're not.
Yes, they are. I'm looking at it right now. Gonzaga is number one. Virginia's number two. West Virginia, three. Louisville, four.
Oh, okay. All right, Ken.
Oh, West Virginia's number three. That leads us up to question number four here on the Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale.
Which is what?
Bloom, a scorching hot take like 3 weeks ago on the program, says that West Virginia will dethrone Kansas and win the Big 12. Now that we've seen what we've seen, Bloom, I'm going to let you either defend that or change your mind. Who wins the Big 12?
I think they're two separate conversations I'm about to have. Kansas still wins the Big 12. They've got a two-game lead now in West Virginia. One game lead on Baylor, but they just won against Baylor. But I still say.
How do they have a. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I still say, if you give me a team, say, Bloom, I want one team that's going to has the highest ceiling in the NCAA tournament and in college basketball, who do you pick? I'm picking West Virginia still.
Really?
After seeing both of those teams now, I think West Virginia has a much higher ceiling. They are better 1 through 11 than Kansas. When they played each other, West Virginia won by double digits. West Virginia's third in KenPom. Kansas is 7. West Virginia's first in Sagarin. Kansas is 8. West Virginia, even though they've had a couple bad losses, but give me the ceiling of West Virginia still over Kansas. I think they have the better chance to go into a Final Four.
Well, and you know, it's different, too. It's tough for Kansas every year because we always talk about how they don't perform well in the NCAA tournament. They're not getting the calls they get throughout the year.
But
the Big
12. That aside, Kansas is 7 deep right now. Like, they've got some issues.
Yeah.
I think West Virginia's ceiling is higher than Kansas. And if I had to pick a team that I would ride in March, I would take West Virginia.
Adam, if you can respond.
So the question was, who's going to win the
Big
12?
Who's going to win the Big 12?
I said Kansas.
Okay, we were asked this question last year, too, after Kansas started off a little bit slow, and I stuck with Kansas. They've won 11 straight. They're going to win 12 straight. I don't agree with Bloom at all that West Virginia's got a higher ceiling. If you were to sit back and rank the players individually, how many would you have to go through before you got to the best West Virginia player? 2, 3, 4?
You're not playing one-on-one. You've got 11 guys on the team.
Who's the best player out of all? Frank Mason? Would Frank Mason be the number one player?
I think Javon Carter's right with him.
Okay.
I've never been a huge Frank Mason guy.
I'm not big on him either. I mean, I don't think
he sucks.
He's a good player on a good team.
What would Carter be like on Kansas?
Exactly. And West Virginia's style is what makes them West Virginia.
Was he the one that had all the bank shots?
No, that was Phillip.
Have you ever seen anything like
that?
No.
Never, ever.
I mean, Iowa State can't make a layup, and you got a guy hitting three bank shots within 5 minutes.
I thought Iowa State played pretty well for.
I do too. I told Adam today when we were doing the podcast, it's a must listen, of course, on the Cyclone Fanatic iTunes feed. I thought that first half was probably the top five halves of the year for Iowa State.
Correct. They hit not only the three banks, they hit two bomb threes that were almost stupid that they even went in. So that's 15 points.
I'm getting
points,
mad just thinking about
15
it.
15 points right there that you kind of just throw your hands up and say you can't really do anything else on defense. So there's an element of luck there. And then in the second half, West Virginia's played a lot better than Iowa State. Okay, here's my take, though. West Virginia, since they went to Press Virginia, they've lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
That has nothing to do with this year. It really doesn't.
Am I going to make my point?
Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to make my point. They've lost in the first round 2 out of 3 years. Once to a Georgetown team who's always bad in the NCAA tournament. Once to Stephen F. Austin last year. And then 2 years ago, they got beat by 40, 50 points against Kentucky in the NCAA tournament as well. Why? Because in the NCAA tournament, you can't get away with mugging players like you can in the regular season.
It's very fair.
And they mug players.
Both of those teams are at a disadvantage when they get to March because of how the games are officiated.
And Michigan State typically should be, but for some reason, Izzo still is able to work them in the NCAA tournaments.
Who has the best win of a Big 12 team so far this year?
Oklahoma at West Virginia.
Okay, so that's – no, that's – okay, I see what you did there. But I think – no, I think West Virginia's win at Virginia –
yeah,
is the best
win.
I mean, that's on the
road.
For
a quality team,
yeah,
yes. Yeah.
And I think that's better than Kansas's win at Kentucky. So,
yeah.
It's close. I think that's the conversation you have.
Kentucky's a tougher place to play. Yeah, Villanova's a better team this year. No, I think it's a toss-up.
Virginia's better team than Kentucky is, but you're right. Rupp Arena is Rupp Arena.
But I think it'll be fascinating to see both those teams in March. I just really like Huggins and what he's doing. And they were as impressive as somebody that I've seen play in Hilton in a long time.
Have I taken two or three breaks?
You've taken two.
Okay, we need to take the final break.
Who won the point?
You get the point.
Yeah, thanks.
Adam gets the point. Bloom's going to have to throw a Hail Mary here. And we'll see if he can do it. That's coming up next.
Paul Rogers.
1460 KXNO.
Hey, guys, it's Chris Williams here wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clive. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland Orthopedic Surgeons and Sports Medicine Professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Hi, this is Adam Gray with Cyclone Fanatic. When it's time to purchase or refinance your home, call Gershman Mortgage. My family and I recently used Gershman Mortgage when purchasing a new house, and I couldn't be happier with their service. Gershman's knowledge, experience, unmatched service, and low rates will make a positive difference for you as it has for over three generations. Call 515-964-5952 or visit GershmanIA.com. Gershman Mortgage, 1200 Southwest Street, Suite 2C, Ankeny, Iowa. They're an equal housing lender, NMLS number 138063.
You know we've got the wing and burger game down, but if you haven't yet tried our Thunder Pie pizzas from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill,
you're missing out.
Ken here. Thick and chewy crust. Absolutely loaded with an eye-popping
and taste bud intimidating
amount of toppings and ooey gooey cheese. Our Thunder Pies check in at about 5 pounds each.
We rock it then, too.
Don't settle for frozen.
Don't settle for bland.
Thunder Pies at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill.
You just been Thunderstruck.
Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
Welcome back to Cyclone Fanatic Radio. We're here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. We just ordered the buffalo chicken pizza.
It's a winner.
Bloom loves buffalo chicken pizza at Benchwarmers.
Every week. Lock it in.
Okay. So, in honor of Iowa State's trip to Fog Allen, that's coming up on Saturday, number five here on the weekly Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale. It's a pretty simple question, and it goes to Brent Bloom first. Who's your least favorite Kansas Jayhawk of all time?
Oh, man. I could take 6 minutes, just start rattling
off.
Well,
you've got five.
Oh, where do you start? Let's go. Can I name a couple? I'm going to talk myself into it.
Can I give mine first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Scott Pollard.
Scott Pollard's the easy one.
Yeah.
Just slappy.
Dislikable guy.
Yeah.
What about Rafe? Because he's
Rafe is on my list.
What about Heinrich and Collison?
Yep.
Because they didn't go to Iowa State?
Yep. Greg Ostertag.
So, oh, yeah.
I cheered for Heinrich and Collison.
What do you do? No, you didn't.
Greg, I did. Well, I knew Collison in this Bloom, Iowa Falls.
Bloom gets the point.
Why would you ever say that on this show?
Bloom gets the point.
I still cheer for Collison. Is he still even in the league playing like 2 minutes a game?
Obviously, you don't cheer for him that much.
You can cheer for Collison? Okay.
Yeah.
The other one, I can't.
Can't do Heinrich.
But I'm not done yet.
They started 0-4 in their careers against Iowa State.
No, I know.
So, okay.
Jeff Boshi.
Boshi, yeah.
But here's the thing with Boshi. Boshi never played good against Iowa State.
I don't care. Still dislikable.
Okay.
What about the
Jared
UAB coach? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got to be.
Well,
good.
He's the worst. Multiple reasons.
Yeah. You guys are so wrong on these so far.
But recent guys.
There's an obvious answer.
Macklemore Bank.
Here's the question, right?
What about the guy who did the dunk at the end of the game in Hilton?
What was his name? I see him.
Come on.
He's the guy who Fred just decided not to guard for.
Yeah,
he scored
37. 37.
Yeah. What was that guy's
name? And he banked in a three, if I remember correctly, from the top of the key.
I can see him.
Somebody
call him.
He wasn't that good.
Yeah, I mean,
he was okay.
He was the guy who Fred would always decide we're not going to guard somebody.
What's his name? He did the dunk that got everybody fired up.
And then there is the alleged incident. Racial deal tweet to him.
Yeah, I got Elijah Johnson.
He was, I didn't like that guy. Aaron Miles punched Holman in the head at one point.
Oh.
Aaron Miles was a
probably
punk.
Didn't
he
get called for
he,
it.
He was a punk.
I don't think he did.
Nadir Tharp, Derek Johnson says.
What about
Nadir Tharp? He was,
Tyshawn Taylor?
Tyshawn, he was dislikable. Mario Chalmers, because they hired his dad and kicked Iowa State's backside for 4 years.
I never minded Sherron Collins. Never bothered me.
Gray, who's your least favorite Jayhawk of all
Easy.
Time?
Easy. You never.
Well, we never said one, by the way. Who's yours, Gray?
Roy Williams. You guys are talking about all these Iowa guys that went down there. Well, who took him down there?
You're right.
Roy Williams. And then what did Roy Williams do even when he went to UNC? He took Harrison Barnes from us.
Yeah.
So well, Roy Williams.
And the kid from Page. Page kid, too.
Yep. Marcus Page. My least favorite of all time would be Roy Williams.
I'll go with Rex Walters. Really old school from my childhood. Didn't like that guy.
What about Sasha Khan?
Yeah, he's just a Russian.
What is? You got something against Russians?
No, I just think
I do.
It's funny. Yeah, Russian.
I'll come out and say it.
All right, Don.
As far as players go that I didn't like, I never liked Drew Gooden.
Drew Gooden, yep. They had some guys that
he was
I didn't
a good
like.
Player.
He was okay.
Well, will you quit riding the fence and say your least favorite?
No, Rex Walters.
That's it?
Yeah.
Jared Haas is the answer.
Was J.R. Ginns the one that made that three-pointer that they counted against Iowa State?
Yes.
That was Drew. Yeah.
That was J.R. Ginns. Yep.
He's up there.
Keith Langford,
not a very likable guy. Always hit big shots, it seemed like.
But, recently, they haven't had as many. Like, I had a problem with Perry Ellis.
I liked Perry.
He's fine. He played for 70 years. But
he played just as long as Niang did.
He did.
I was at the game when Ben McLemore banked in the three, so Ben McLemore.
That was the Dave Zavolinski Screaming Eagle game.
That's bad.
That was a rough one. That was a brick that was banked in.
Yeah, there's no chance going. He didn't try
that. Absolute
bank
brick.
Shots are the theme of the program tonight. Theme of the program.
We should come up with a drink here at Benchwarmers called the bank shot.
It's got to be the grossest thing that you could come up with.
Yes.
But with a really good aftertaste.
How's there good aftertaste?
There's no good aftertaste.
There's no good aftertaste.
Because everything about a bank shot looks ugly, but then it still tastes delicious if you get 3 points.
Not when it's against Iowa State.
This is true.
Man. I would like Iowa State to win there. Haven't won there since 2005. Bring back Waino. Put him on the sideline.
Bloom, you get
inspiration.
You get the final point, but Gray wins 3-2. Congratulations.
Boom.
Next week we'll be at Thunderhead for the Cyclone Fanatic recruiting party. It's our can't-miss event that we have every single year. We look forward to seeing you there. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. Morning Rush is tomorrow at 6 here on 1460 KXNO.
From the WCI Pools and Spas Studio, this is 1460 KXNO Des Moines, an iHeartRadio station at KXNO.com or the